From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The government is offering another sign of an improving economy. The Commerce Department says the nation's trade deficit jumped to the highest level in nearly a year in November on stronger demand for imports. The deficit has jumped 9.7% in November to $36 billion. That's a bigger imbalance than economists had forecast. The U.S. and Russia are expected to resume negotiations on a new arms control deal later this month. The talks are aimed at replacing the 1991 Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, which expired in December. Jessica Gallagher has details from Moscow.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says that discussions on a replacement pact should take place later this month. Both sides were expected to sign a deal at the end of last year, but negotiations got bogged down. Lavrov blamed the U.S. for requesting additional documents, and Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin stated last month that Washington's missile defense plans in Eastern Europe were holding up discussions. The U.S. and Russia agreed last July to drastically reduce their nuclear arsenals. Both countries hold some 90% of the world's nuclear weapons. The previous pact expired December 5th. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.
Officials in Iraq launched a big security operation in Baghdad today. Officials say security forces locked down parts of the capital and searched neighborhoods for possible car bombs. The operation comes as Iraq prepares for nationwide parliamentary elections in March. Officials have warned that insurgents seeking to disrupt the vote could try to launch attacks. A one-time spokesman for former British Prime Minister Tony Blair has denied that the United States was instrumental in Blair's decision about joining the Iraq War. The key aide is being questioned at an inquiry into Britain's participation. Larry Miller reports from London.
Alistair Campbell told the Iraq War inquiry Blair was not influenced by President Bush to sign up to regime change in Iraq.
He shared the analysis, he shared the concern, he shared the objectives.
In a previous session at the independent inquiry, a former UK ambassador to the US said Blair changed his view in favor of regime change after a private meeting with President Bush. Campbell said this was not accurate. He insisted Blair genuinely believed Iraq was flouting UN resolutions and pursuing weapons of mass destruction. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Fruit and vegetable growers in Florida are scrambling to assess the damage from the prolonged deep freeze that's hit the South. One grower estimates his farm will lose about $750,000 in green beans and sweet corn because of the cold. The freezing temperatures have approached or surpassed records. However, the cold snap is showing signs of breaking. The National Weather Service says more seasonable temperatures will arrive tomorrow and probably stay through the weekend. From Washington, this is NPR News. Prosecutors in Wichita, Kansas, are challenging a judge's ruling that lets lawyers for the man charged with killing a doctor who performed abortions argue voluntary manslaughter. A hearing is planned today to let lawyers for Scott Roeder respond. The judge's decision allows Roeder to argue that he believes the killing of Dr. George Tiller last May was a justified act aimed at saving unborn children. The trial that could determine the constitutionality of same-sex marriage in California is scheduled to continue today in federal district court in San Francisco. Bob Hensley of Capital Public Radio reports.
Two gay couples are challenging the constitutionality of Proposition 8, the voter-approved measure that prohibits same-sex marriage in California. The first expert witness is expected to continue her testimony when the trial resumes Tuesday. Monday, the gay plaintiffs were the first witnesses called to testify. They described to the court the impact Proposition 8 had had on their lives. Legal experts say the case is likely headed to the U.S. Supreme Court, regardless of the outcome at the district court level. The U.S. Supreme Court has already been a factor in the case. The High Court has precluded, at least temporarily, the delayed broadcast of the trial via YouTube on the Internet. The trial is expected to last 2 to 3 weeks. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig is praising Mark McGwire for admitting that he used steroids while he was a player. Selig says it should make McGwire's re-entry into the game much smoother and easier. McGwire has been hired by the St. Louis Cardinals as a hitting coach. He admitted steroid use in several interviews yesterday, including during the 1998 season when he set a single-season home run record. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.